You may think that everyone has figured this out and that they all know where we're going and that you're totally behind and you're just lost. Guess what? You're not. Many of us, even those of us who live it every day, I'll be honest, if you ask me what AI is going to be like in 5 years, I'll be like, I would love to know in 2. Yep. Every day the landscape changes. That doesn't mean that your reasons for using it though change. It just means how we do that. So it's important to have that thought process first.
In a world of AI and ChatGPT, no, I'm just kidding. Ain't no one got time for that. I brought in experts to help me navigate what in the world artificial intelligence means today. Are we from Skynet and Terminator level? Where are we at in this world and what does it make sense? So I brought really qualified experts with years of experience to actually make sense of it. Not someone who wrote their script on ChatGPT yesterday, who have been in the game before ChatGPT even existed as an afterthought. Have you ever wondered what unicorns eat for breakfast? Okay, to be honest, I don't actually know. But what I do know and what I can tell you, something equally as interesting and unicorn related. Here are the facts. Over 20% of all unicorn startups are using HubSpot. HubSpot's all-in-one platform levels up your sales, your software, and your support so you can grow beyond your wildest dreams. Cue the Taylor Swift reference. Boosting leads and ramping sales along the way. They even have a constantly evolving collection of resources to help startups scale. Plus, with the HubSpot for Startups program, trust me, you can save up to 90% off your first year. To see if you're eligible to save on HubSpot, visit HubSpot.com/startups. So Scott and Susan, if you'd be more willing to introduce yourself, and we'd love to just dive into a conversation.
Sure, absolutely. So I am Susan Westwater, and this is Scott Westwater. And yes, we are of relation. We are a married couple, but we are the co-founders of Pragmatic Digital. But we're also co-authors of one book that's out right now called Voice Strategy, and one that will be coming out soon called Voice Marketing, Harnessing Conversational AI to Engage Your Consumers. And so we've been in the conversational AI voice space since 2017. And prior to that, I come from a user experience digital strategy perspective, being on corporate side as well as on the big advertising, tier one advertising agency side.
And I'm Scott. My background is on the design side and also user experience. So a lot of what I bring to the table is digital strategy, identifying the right opportunities, also doing a lot of research. So either stakeholder research internally to understand what the organization's objectives are, or interviewing the audience to try to figure out where voice and this conversational AI thing could actually help them get their tasks done quicker, make purchases faster, whatever their goals are, trying to actually uncover those so we can marry it up with what the business is trying to achieve to actually create something that moves the needle.
Yeah, and we've been doing this, like we saw this with the web, we saw this with mobile, we saw this with social. And so this is when we saw what started coming forth with voice and voice control and those types of things, it was one of those moments of, we're not going to sit on the sidelines and let someone else become the experts this time. We're going to dive right in because we've navigated these waters of everything from how do you sell in a website when someone tells you, is the internet a fad?
Right.
Yes, I've actually had to do that presentation. How do you navigate and how do we take these really exciting, amazing things that are right now peak hype cycle and actually turn them into useful, usable things that actually make for better experiences and aren't just a thing that's going to be really fancy and really cool to get PR, but doesn't actually move a needle.
Well said. I just snaps for days.
What's up, digital world? You're listening to the I Digress Audio Experience with Troy Sanders. Social media, marketing, storytelling, business, culture, and more. Coming to you in 3, 2, 1.
When you think about AI, what is your initial first emotion that you hear it in common practice now?
It depends on who's saying it. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
Ooh, fair.
Because sometimes, I'm not going to lie, my eyes roll. The whole, here's a way to super prompt and prompt engineer your way to 10x your revenue. That's sure. It can be done. And I'm not going to knock that there are ways that we use these tools. The reality of it is, and I get super excited though, when I start to hear someone say though, I was messing around with ChatGPT. Can you tell me more about how this can work? That's when I get excited. I get excited because, and I even have said this when I've been presenting this year, is November 2022 was a love-hate day for me. When ChatGPT came out, it was like, oh my gosh, how much bad content could go into the world? Because there already is some sucky content. And being a content person, that's kind of like where my heart goes. But at the same time, it was, we started having really good conversations again. Instead of it just being, I just don't want to be tied to the little box on a desk. It was, wait, I can think of what it means to have an actual conversation with a brand. How do I harness this so that I'm actually having a real conversation with someone, as opposed to the, here's what I want to foist upon you, dear user, so that I can make sure my agenda's held. And so that's a really exciting thing. So it makes me very excited. AI, I think, is fun just because there have been flavors of it around for quite some time. So it's always fun to see it come back up again, like, no, this is the new AI. It's got a mustache on now, or something like that. Because we knew about programmatic. We knew about decision-making, predictive modeling, all that good stuff. I mean, my favorite gentle reminder is, if you have ever used spell check or Grammarly, you've been using AI. Mm-hmm. It's just this. So it's exciting. I love like how many facets it is. So for me, it's a big exciting jam for me. I mean, Scott, I think you feel the same way, but
yeah, I mean, like she said, like ChatGPT was a blessing and a curse. So the blessing is there's a lot more awareness of AI and what conversational AI is. And so that's good. It's actually done more for us than we could ever have done for ourselves from a marketing and just an awareness standpoint. I think the big challenge right now is there is a lot of that hype, and there are a lot of people that are promising the sun, moon, and stars. And I've even heard people say, oh, you don't need to worry about strategy. You don't need to worry about your content. Just type right into ChatGPT or another large language model, and it'll do it all for you. Which, as someone who had worked in pharma and other highly regulated industries, it just makes me like super twitchy, because there's no legal team that's going to say, oh, yeah, that's fine. Just let the AI say whatever it's going to say. Like, in those worlds, it has to be very controlled. You need to make sure that it's exactly the language that would be used. Yes, there are a lot of things you can do with it, but you know, we want to make sure that we're taking a nuanced approach so we don't put the company at risk, so we don't open ourselves up to any sort of bad PR, bad publicity, or worse, a lawsuit. So trying to help people identify where AI in general fits, and then specifically when it comes to the voice thing, like, here's a way you can chat enable your website or voice enable your website to make it easier for people to find the information. Or here's how you can do a messenger bot to address customer service. These are all things that you can do. It's just a matter of where are the big pain points for a business, and where can we actually really make some inroads when it comes to engaging with our audiences.
I'm a business. I'm a marketer. I'm an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I'm a creator. I'm XYZ. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like chai tea. Like, it really means tea, but now we're saying, we're emphasizing AI more, but to your point, if you ever use spell check, if you use Grammarly, if you use these other sub things that we don't even think about, there's some component of it. Oh, we've already been interacting. It's like I'm a big Marvel person, so Secret Invasion. They've already infiltrated way before anyone's on our radar, but now we're exploring, you know, going from generative and predictive and other AI categories, different models, a tying it to different applications and integrations. Mm-hmm. One, it's awesome. It gives me kind of .com days in a certain realm.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, if people aren't educated, they're either going to run through a lot of money, time, and resources chasing something that won't produce general ROI for them, or they're going to miss out on the opportunities and struggle.
Yep.
So if a business is coming to you two, as great as you are, where do we start to guide them on this journey of utility with AI?
I mean, a lot of what we do is that upfront education. So it's, here's what it is. Here's how it can be used in your industry. Here's, you know, from research that we've conducted, what your audience wants to do with it. And it's really starting with almost like voice 101. And that's really where we were, say, 3-4 years ago. More recently, as we've talked to brands, they understand kind of the general, you know, flavor of voice and conversational AI. They just don't know specifically how to apply it to their organization. So it's almost like we're at voice and conversation 201 or 301, where it's a little bit more advanced. But here's specifically for your organization, for instance, an entertainment brand, you know, here's the types of things that AI can do, and, you know, recommendation engines and a bunch of other stuff like that to help people find the content they're looking for. So it's understanding what the business and audience challenges are, articulating those, and then figuring out, does voice or conversational AI make it better? If yes, please proceed. If no, if it makes it more difficult, don't do it. Like, we're big proponents of the technology, but if it makes it more difficult, it introduces friction into the experience, it's actually going to hurt your brand more. So a lot of what we do is identify, you know, within your existing channels, where are those opportunities? Where is it going to fit fastest, give you the biggest bang for your buck? And then how can you start to expand out into other areas within your organization?
It's exciting. You want to jump right into the doeritis, right? You want to do the things. You want to show the fancy demo that shows that with the, you know, the mirrors manned, it will launch a rocket ship. Right. What we have to understand, though, is number one, does our audience even want to launch a rocket ship? Like, that sometimes, like, wouldn't it be cool should not be where you start.
Right.
Blasphemy.
Yeah, I know. It should be more of understanding, what have you been solving before? What have you been solving well? How do we extrapolate that into a new way?
Yeah.
Treating it almost like a whole new channel is how I like to think of it. But it should, it, you know, very similar to the whole comment of that shouldn't be twins, they should be cousins with the other content. If you build it in a silo full away, you're going to have to spend more time and money bringing it back over. Yeah. The other thing too, is we look at what's a roadmap, because there are the, what are the wins we need to have today so that we can fight tomorrow? Because if you say it will take you 24 months to build this amazing assistant that will do the sun and the moon and the stars, you're going to throw a lot of money after something that might not be in market or by the time it happens. I'll be honest, writing our book, we have rewritten the first two chapters four times.
Four times.
And we only were writing that over an 18-month period. That's where it's important to also think about, where do we start, of what do we need to achieve to prove, and then go from there. And that's where we look at a model of starting from an idea of optimize the content you have, make that voice friendly, make that conversational friendly. That doesn't mean putting question marks at the end of sentences. That's not a conversation. Putting question marks at the end of your H1s does not turn that into a conversation.
Right.
But the reality of it is taking that, looking at what you learn from that, from the experimentation of then going into the idea of creation. I'm going to create this thing that's dedicated. Then you go into full-on integration of, I have this thing I've built that is integrated and all of my channels work together seamlessly. And that's an important way of looking at it. By the way, that was not done in a day. Even though I saw an amazing post the other day by Mike Caput from the Marketing AI Institute, and it was, you may think that everyone has figured this out and that they all know where we're going and that you're totally behind and you're just lost. Guess what? You're not. Many of us, even those of us who live it every day, I'll be honest, if you ask me what AI is going to be like in 5 years, I'll be like, I would love to know in two.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that it's out of control. It's just, with all of the advancements and seeing all of the wars, is it like, I just heard Apple's now creating their own version, right. And throwing it out. Every day the landscape changes. That doesn't mean that your reasons for using it though change. It just means how we do that. So it's important to have that thought process first of, what am I trying to solve first? That's where we start. Mm-hmm. And then we go to, does it make sense of this tech or that tech? There are times where I'd love to use voice more, but maybe it's sensitive information that no one wants to say out loud, or maybe it's things like that. So it's making sure that you've got those caveats thought through and having that sort. But we do very much intentionally think about, what does the business need to do? What does my user need? Because if you don't have both of those, you're not going to get that ROI story, but then you're also not going to get the good customer experience or the reason they even use it.
You already touched on a little bit of that history set. I'd love to dive in deeper on the intersection strategically when you combine voice and conversational AI, particularly, like, where did that derive from that led to the book and everything?
We started, like Susan said, back in 2017. And at that point, we were really focused in on voice. Chatbots existed, but at that point, it was kind of, the hype cycle had already kind of boomed and they were in their little trough of disillusionment. And then, you know, the next one right after that was voice and Amazon Alexa and Google Assistant and Siri. And so we basically got in towards the tail end of the chatbot world, which it's really this conversational AI thing is actually kind of an umbrella term where chatbots fit underneath it, voice assistants fit underneath it, your IVRs, your call center, the automated call center stuff, that all kind of fits underneath this idea of conversational. And really what it is using natural language or how we normally speak to interact with computers and then actually having the computer understand and responding in some way. So the output could be voice, it could be text, it could be images, you know, it could be video. But at the end of the day, it's really the computer understanding us for the first time. So we don't necessarily have to learn all the nuances and, oh, you have to click this and, you know, do this like twister thing on the keyboard to actually get the keyboard command right. It's literally just using your natural language. And if we as strategists and creators have done our jobs, the system should understand it, say, oh, this is what they're trying to accomplish, and then actually give them the response that they're looking for.
The reason this even happened, we had the pleasure to connect, you know, Susan and I, we both spoke at DigiMarCon Midwest in Chicago, Soldier Field, Chicago Bears. We're not even going to talk about that. We'll see what happens this year, but I digress. Yeah. And I remember trying to put all this together. We were they changed the times and tables like last minute. And, you know, we're thinking about, you know, the temperature in the room. What's the temperature check in the room involving AI and marketing? And at first I had this deeper presentation I was going to, and I paused and I was like, would this make sense to the average marketer who's probably their first conference back post-pandemic possibly? Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're navigating all new technology, a whole new world. You've got different budgets. You have different audiences. You have different metrics. And then here comes AI out of nowhere. Do I jump ship? Is this going to make or break me as a marketer, as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, as a creator? What is going on? And I'm thinking, and I'm like, and I talked on the resurgency of how we're trying to change and digital marketing is changing. And I remember we connected because I was giving just overview stats of mm-hmm. chatbots and AI and mm-hmm. how that just passed the baton to your zone of genius and went to the room. And I was thinking, for those who don't know, I'm a big, not intentional, but acronym focused for neurodivergent learners just for memory. And I had said, you know, CUP, capacity, utility, and performance. Before you dive in deep into AI to its fullest capacity, go down that rabbit hole. Like, what is the capacity that you need it for? What are you struggling with?
Right.
What are the utilities that make sense? And how are we going to quantify performance? Because I love what you said, Scott, and I'll tie it to y'all in a second. I was thinking back to you said about a recipe in my mind. I think of AI right now as like really good seasoning. Mm-hmm. And the right amount is going to make it great flavor. It's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can put that flavor on multiple things. Mm-hmm. Then other times you put too much flavor, it just destroys the whole dish.
Yep. Yep.
Or you use the same flavoring on all of your dishes in the meal. Mm. Everything tastes bland. It doesn't mm-hmm. taste original. It doesn't taste fresh. And we have to know how much AI salt do we put in on our business.
Yeah.
So I love what you were caring about. That recipe just stood out to me. But to the point, I want to really get to the point of, one, our connection, two, the temperature check. And Susan and Scott, from your perspective, and obviously you went to other conferences after that one, mm-hmm. what has been the temperature check of marketers and business owners looking mm-hmm. at AI as you've been presenting and having conversations?
Well, we've seen some of the research that the Marketing AI Institute has done, and mm-hmm. it was something like 15-ish, don't quote me on the number, but it was a low number of marketers said that they were comfortable and understood AI. The rest of the people, you know, it was kind of varying scales, but I'm just getting my feet wet. I've heard of it and I have no idea where to start. Really illuminating because it was the education part that is so critical right now. Like people are dying for education. Like, how can this apply to my CRM? How does this apply to personalization? Like, what can I do from a content generation standpoint? Like, there's all these questions. And I love the idea of AI salt, and I might actually steal that term. Because at the end of the day, it's a tool. It's yeah. just like any other tool or any other software that we have. And yes, it's incredibly powerful and it can do a lot of stuff, yeah. but you have to use the tool in the right way and be intentional with it. And I think that's the big missing piece of all this hype that we're hearing right now. Yes, you can use it to generate content, but is it good content? Will it resonate mm-hmm. with your audience? Will it actually index on search and actually bring traffic to you? Like, there's a lot of like promise and do more. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've used it for creating personas and actually having it review content and actually saying, as this type of a marketer, will this resonate, and have it give me feedback based on that. Like, I've actually gone super deep into those types of things. So it's incredibly helpful, and it's really improved the amount of output that I can actually have. But it's also because I've been a practitioner for 20 plus years. I know what goes into the stuff. I'm just using it to help me shortcut certain things. Or if I need to do some quick down and dirty research, I can use that plus a lot of the research that I'll actually find, you know, on third-party research websites or, you know, in this industry report or whatever. But being able to pull it all together and actually compile it into one single place and then help have it help me generate insights based on that. You know, where are people at? And I think the general vibe that we're getting is, I haven't even started with social. How could I jump into AI? We're hearing that more often than not. Or we just got our CRM thing figured out, or we just integrated a POS system. Like, this is just another thing that we have to add. So I think as AI ambassadors and also creators, we have to be cognizant of where our audiences are and all the stuff that they're dealing with, because it is such a small part of a larger world that they're dealing with on a day-to-day.
Yeah. And I think there's an intimidation factor. Yeah. I mean, I remember back in the day when it was marketing and then you put digital in front of it and people lost their dang minds. Like, I don't know how to do this. And it's like, same thing. Trust me, they're like, who we're talking to is the same people. It's just the pictures move this time.
Right.
Very, very, you know, I mean, obviously we live in a very different world than the pictures do more than move now.
Talking Too Loud, hosted by Chris Savage, is brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. On this podcast, Chris Savage, Wistia CEO and aka the loudest talker ever, takes you inside the minds of entrepreneurs as they share the hilarious, informative, and most challenging aspects of building more human brands. What does it mean to build more human brands? How do you formulate that? How do you construct that? And how do you tell the world about it? Well, I don't know. You should go check out Talking Too Loud with Chris Savage wherever you get your podcasts.
I've had people come and go, I didn't want to ask this question because I didn't want to look stupid. So like after some of my talks, it'll be dead silent. I'll be like, oh, wow, that went over very poorly. Great. Now I got to rework my whole presentation. And then as soon as I get off the stage, there's 15 people waiting to talk to me because they didn't want to look stupid in front of this group of people by asking a question, which, by the way, very rarely is stupid.
Right.
And that's the thing of it is, but there is that intimidation of, I feel like I should be looking savvy. I should know this. The reality is there's a lot of things too, because we've spent so much time in the, here's how it happens, that there are people like, I'm not a linguist. That's okay. You don't have to be. Like, I spend a lot of time also saying that's okay. You know your things. And that's where then you bring in folks like Scott and myself to say, hey, who I know the linguists, we know the developers, we know those folks. Right. They will bring that together to make that useful. The other side of it too, from the intimidation factor, is the, I saw what happened when Microsoft had a bot and it got reprogrammed into being a neo-Nazi activist. Oh my gosh, can that happen? Yes, it can. If you are completely irresponsible and go, I'm going to make an instant thing that I never look at ever again. Yes, it needs human intervention, but the risks can be mitigated as opposed to the, you know, even as Scott was talking about pharma, that doesn't mean that we don't talk to pharma clients. It just means these are the requirements we live within, and these are the ways that this is going to work out. I always like to think of them as fun little fences, you know, the fences that keep me in the yard of where we're playing when we think about those requirements. Mm-hmm. So it's important to know those. I think the intimidation though is there is this, oh my gosh, I can't 1000% understand it. I should know every aspect of it. No, you don't have to. You should know what your business is about and some of the flavors, to keep going with the our metaphor here. But you also don't be afraid to ask questions. And don't be afraid to think that you have to know every answer in the room, because just right now, I'm still working on projects of ways of using responsible AI, ways of putting that through and providing those checklists. So it's an exciting, amazing time to be a part of it because you're basically defining things that may live for years and to come, or at least more than 20 minutes, depending on what happens to the landscape. But the reality is, this is like an incredibly organic, creative time where solutions are, we can think in a sci-fi way. So it's kind of embracing that as opposed to being intimidated by, oh, what are all the risks? How do I justify that? And it's also, you don't need $1 million.
Yeah. And I mean, there's things as simple as NVIDIA has a chipset where the AI will actually have your eyes looking at the camera, even if you're not. So like if you're trying to read off of a script, or like in this case, I got my screen underneath the camera, like it would actually just recreate my eyeballs and making it look like I was looking at the camera. That's super awesome. That's AI though. And so like those are the things that are just going to become so ubiquitous we don't even give it a second thought. There's, you know, companies that are using AI for media optimization. Mm-hmm. So not only are they using it to predict how campaigns will perform and which creative will perform better, they're actually going through and using it to optimize after the fact and making recommendations and having, you know, maybe 1,000 different flights for media when it comes to a creative campaign, because it can scale and it can actually try different things. So there's a lot of things that are quote unquote AI. And then when you talk about the conversational piece, I mean, there's a ton of applications there. So it's just identifying what the problems are and then having people like us around to help you say, okay, this is the technology you'd want to address it here. Here's how it might play here. Here's some other systems that's going to have to tie into over here. So let's think about this. And so we're that quarterback or that head chef that's kind of, you know, composing and orchestrating the whole thing. That's kind of how we see our roles, is really helping businesses be successful, because we come from the marketing and also the technology side. We can speak to both. We can speak to the developers. We can speak to designers. We can speak to CMOs and really help everyone kind of speak a common language.
Common language. That's key. And I love the responsible AI. And I love that you position yourselves as AI ambassadors. And we're in an era of exploration.
Yeah.
And so we don't have everything figured out. And I premise people who would be listening or watching to consider, when you immediately lead with negativity or all the negative what ifs, that's a trigger response of fear, of change, of adaptation, of innovation. Because sure enough, that was the same thing when the internet hit. Oh, the same thing in the boom of social media, the same thing when YouTube has it for like three resurrections at this point, different eras, same thing with TikTok and all these other just applications where I'm naming dropping things where people can just associate to where we are as far as the same lane if they're not grasping the significance of, yes, this is very powerful. This is very dynamic. There's a lot of opportunities. And yeah, there's some shadows in there. We're not going to deny it. All things have shadows if you don't use it a proper, responsible, you know, way. But I love the fact that you are looking at it from a lot of different perspectives first to then give direction. I don't take that for granted. That's why I immediately connect. I'm a big learner. I just want to learn. And I think collaboration, conversation will allow us to really expand these horizons so people can get a better perspective of, how do I look at AI? What has been the history of it? Where do we go from here? But people forget about machine learning. People forget about automation. Yeah. We forget about all these other layers within this AI sandwich over here. We're so focused on this. We're not thinking about all the other things that have to connect with it to actually bring forth a product, a solution, an interface that we can use. I mean, if we're looking at code, the trend now is everyone wants to be codeless. I want to have it as simple as possible. But if you want to get very micro, you're going to have to know the back end of the language and all the code to give you the very specific things you want to do, the experiences, UX, UI. People want all these things, but they want it in a very condensed, nice box.
It's like AI cliff notes. You know, like here's the secrets to the kingdom or the keys to the kingdom, and like run with it.
We want AI IKEA. Just
There we go. There's a simple little instructions.
You just, we haven't gotten there yet, y'all. There's too much variables to consider.
And that's a wrap. We hope you enjoyed this episode of I Digress. What was your takeaway? Care to share your thoughts and tag Troy on social media? You can find him on all platforms at Find Troy. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a review or comment for this episode from wherever you're listening.